This is a replay of the Wednesday night, November 1st WGN show we started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together tonight and tomorrow night as well. No sports interruptions the remainder of the week. And while normally voting for the world's worst hit records would begin on Halloween, a night of horrors, in fact, you were treated to Spooktacular and Carla Mari, which was much better all the way around, I'm sure. So we had a early voting on Monday night, but surprisingly, in our half-hour show, more of you wanted to play trivia. So we have started off the poll this year with one entrant. That's right. There will be more to come, I'm sure, and you know the deal. We do this every year, and actually, I've been doing it every year for now almost 40 years, and I'll tell you what, some things never change. And, of course, other things do. We have new entrants. In fact, our first and only vote Monday night was something that has never been voted upon before. But, you know, the deal is, if you hear something and you're saying, oh, that's what I was going to vote, well, for God's sakes, call and second it, because it's a cumulative total. And so the songs with the biggest number of votes become the top 10. And that's the way it works. And so if you're saying, all right, so what was that first vote? Imagine Dragons doing Radioactive. And if you're unaware, well, then you haven't been to a sports stadium in a while, because it was almost an anthem for a while there and came out in 2012 on Interscope. And Imagine Dragons is very popular. And, of course, if you're long enough of tooth, you're saying, I know nothing about them. Well, believe me, very popular. And, in fact, Radioactive, I think, was on the Billboard Hot 100 longer than any other song. Yeah, something crazy like that. Well, of course, it was featured in other things, and that's how it kept it lingering. But nonetheless, it is the first vote we have, and that's the spirit of it. Because, remember, it's the world's worst hit records, and all we're asking is the records be hits. Because we don't like to make fun of the people who have put their heart and soul into something and walked away with nothing, you know, the flops of the world. But I figure if somebody's walked away with $1 million on a record and subjected it to us ad nauseum on the radio, well, they deserve our humor, if not our wrath. And so as long as it's a hit, we don't care about the genre. We don't care about the decade. And so any genre, any decade, as long as it's a hit. And hit, I would say hit, really, as long as it's somewhere, I'll be very generous in this, like in the top 60 of the Billboard Hot 100. It doesn't even have to be a top 40 of the Billboard Hot 100, but at least national action. So, you know, if it was something like I'm a Nut by John Lewis and the Ravens and was only a hit in South Florida, that doesn't count. All right. However, there are so many others that do. So the polls are open now, and they will continue through Wednesday, right before Thanksgiving. And then Thanksgiving, it'll be a live show, and we will count them down for you. And yeah, because, you know, it's a night of turkeys, so we'll be playing turkeys and taking your calls. So that's the deal. So at any point between now and then, 888-876-5593 would be 8888-RALEIGH. And I do not in any way tweak the lists. They're absolutely your list, regardless of what I think about the songs. All right, so that said, by all means, vote often. Now, you can only vote for the same song once, but you can vote for as many different songs as you like. So there's no limit on voting, but don't vote for the same song more than once. And that's I think those them there are the rules, and that's pretty much it. So earlier tonight, John said, "What are you going to talk about tonight?" I said, "I don't know. I'll go get a tabloid." So of course we do have slime from the checkout line, and the National Enquirer headlines are Hulk Hogan is hooked on drugs. I thought it was just those of us forced to see his movies, but Perv Andrew caught a new Epstein sex scandal. Of course, what would the tabloids be without that? Fall shows doomed. Well, I didn't know there were any fall shows. I thought, well, shows you what I know. We can take a look at that. And a feud at Fox News between Greg Gutfeld and Sean Hannity. Well, so there you have it. And that's tabloid fodder. But we can talk about virtually anything else that floats your boat as well. You know, one of the songs that is always nominated doesn't necessarily make the list, but is always nominated is, of course, Ballad of the Green Beret. I think it's a very instructive song, actually. Years ago, when I would interact with program directors and they'd say, well, we only play the top 20 hits. If they're number one, we play them. And I was, you know, smirking all the time. Oh, really? Oh, yes, as long as they're big hits. I said, how often do you play the Ballad of the Green Berets? And usually that was a showstopper right there. And I can see why many of you would vote it as the world's worst hit record. Fortunately, other than the A-Team, the almost follow-up, he quit trying to write songs, and it was a good thing for all concerned. He co-wrote Ballad of the Green Beret, and actually, as trite as that song might have been, his life was nothing short of a soap opera. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Barry Sadler. Yeah, he was born in Carlsbad, New Mexico, but his family, his mom and dad divorced early, and then his dad died. So he was with his mother, and he's raised mostly in the West. And he was in high school in Leadville, Colorado in 1958 when he dropped out of the 10th grade. And as soon as he could, he enlisted in the Air Force. And got his GED while he was there and trained in radar and went to Japan and had a fine old time and was discharged in 1961 and tried to get a job. And what he saw on the outside were the jobs were just not great. And so he thought, well, I'll just go back and re-enlist in the Air Force. So he goes back to the enlistment center, and the Air Force guy is out to lunch. But the Army guy is right there. So he says, all right, I'll just join the Army. And when they were talking about, because when you volunteer, you get a choice of things you're going to do. What he was going to do, he opted to be a medic. And so he wound up doing all the training at Fort Sam Houston in Texas and Fort Jackson in South Carolina and Fort Bragg in North Carolina. Yeah, all of them. And because, you know, if you're going to be a medic, they want you to know something. And so it was that he is trained and he's sent to Vietnam, where on combat patrol he's pretty gravely injured. Actually, what it was a punji stick. And if you're unaware, this was a makeshift weapon. And what the people would do there is just kind of swathe them in human excrement. And then it'd be a point, and you know you'd walk on it, or you stick it into your body, and next thing you know, you have a hell of an infection, and that's precisely what it was. And he got aerovac'd, and they had to do surgeries and all that. And bottom line was that they returned him to Fort Bragg. He does make a complete recovery. He gets a Purple Heart and all this, and while he's there, he's recording the Ballad of the Green Beret. Now, let's back up and say Robin Moore, who is no longer with us, Robin Moore wrote a book, The Green Beret, in 1965, actually. And he worked with Barry on the Barry on the lyrics. Well, not only did he do that, but Robin Moore knew a lot of people, and he's the one who paved the way for a recording contract at RCA. And so he arranged all that for him. And Moore, by the way, had an illustrious career himself, and it didn't hurt that he went to Harvard with JFK. So there were a lot of political connections. But anyway, so here's Barry, and he does Ballad of the Green Beret. And, of course, it just takes the country by storm, as well as you know. And then 3 years later, the movie The Green Beret, featuring John Wayne, winds up, using the song and more. And so he's on a run, but he's not able to follow up. Well, not only that, the Army's noticing this at this point, and they're saying, you're not going back to Vietnam. You're not going anywhere where you can possibly get injured. That would be a PR nightmare for us. And so they started sending him around on basically PR tours, and he got bored. And so it was when it came time for him to re-enlist, and I think it was 67, he just said, no, I'll see you later, bye. And so he left the service quite honorably and initially tried acting in California, and that didn't do anything much. Although he was in he was in a couple episodes of Death Valley Days and High Chaparral and things like that. So he made some stuff, but he ultimately decides at that point in the mid 70s he's going to go back to Nashville and try to be a songwriter. And by everybody involved, they said he was absolutely unqualified to be a songwriter, which is interesting because he becomes a writer later, and I'll tell you that. But the next thing you know, Barry Sattler is in the news again, big time. Well, it was those pesky murder charges. So I'll pick it up right there because it's quite the story all the way around. But we'll get to Karen in Chicago on her vote and Donna Beloit in his vote. And voting will begin in earnest, but I'll finish the Barry Sadler soap opera first in case you don't know. And it's kind of interesting all the way around. And so we'll pick it up at the murder. And we'll talk about radio because I know if you listen to the show, you're a radio lover. Ah, the CC Radio 2E. You know, I always say everything Bob Crane designed has better reception, and the 2E is just a jewel that way. And I'll tell you what, if you have a radio that isn't made by the C. Crane Company and is, you know, fairly new in the last 20 years or so, take it and tune it to a radio station, something maybe a week AM, and then take the CC Radio 2E next to it and tune it to the same station, and it will just blow you out of the water. It is absolutely one of the best AM and FM radios made today as far as reception. And of course, like everything else Bob Crane designs, there's other wonderful features too. High quality audio, and you can adjust it to sound however you want it to, including like I'm right in the room with you. But more than anything else, it's designed to receive long-range AM and FM stations, make weak signals strong. It's not a miracle. It's not going to pick up stations that aren't otherwise over your head. But if it's something the average radio doesn't even know is there, I bet you the CC2E will pull it in. It also has a weather alert and weather band, so it's a great emergency radio as well. I keep it by my bedside. It's my bedside companion. John chooses the CC Radio 3 because of Bluetooth, which is a nice choice too. But I'm a CC2E girl, and you can read all about it at ccradio.com, and you can order as well. And if you can't go online, well, no problem. Call them. They got the best customer service. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. You can get it on Amazon for quicker shipping, but best deal is go to ccradio.com. You will not only see the products and get information about the products, but great information about radio as well. And you can sign up for their newsletter and be the first to know about exclusive offers and new products. So ccradio.com. Look at that CC Radio 2E. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Why? Why? Why?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Eddie Holland. And Eddie Holland turned 84 Monday. Yeah, October 30th. And then, of course, you don't know I'm from Holland, Dozier Holland. And, of course, he did have one hit, Jamie, in 1962 on Motown. But I'll tell you what, there was no shortage of Eddie Holland records. Berry Gordy did right by him in terms of releases. In fact, that was the second thing he released, 1959 on Tamla. And Berry Gordy wrote it, Merry-Go-Round, and it's the Raber Singers in the background, and maybe not a classic, but I figured we'd start there and maybe play some other Eddie Hollands. Because like I say, if you're an oldies fan, well, you know Jamie, but do you know anything else he did? So we'll play one where I swear that he was channeling Jackie Wilson, but I'll let you be the judge of that. So we left Barry Sadler at the murder, which is where I'll keep him for a moment. I won't forget. The show will not end tonight before I tell you all of this story, I promise. And maybe you know it. I don't know. But in the meantime, we'll start the voting because I see we've got folks chomping at the bit for that. So, Karen in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio. What's your vote?
Okay, I have two of them. I have Stairway to Heaven by the that rock group. I can't think.
Led Zeppelin? Led Zeppelin? Sure.
No, Led Zeppelin, right. And Honey by Bobby Goldsboro.
Okay. All right.
I hate both of them. John said I should ask you about Stairway to Heaven.
Well, there's a couple things. Firstly, of course, you know, the lyrics are also set to the tune of Gilligan's Island. You've probably heard that.
Yeah.
But the other thing is there's two Stairway to Heavens. And you see, I got drug into album rock, kicking and screaming. I knew nothing about it, and from what I did know, I hated it. But a radio station I was working at with call letters that shall remain nameless, I came in one day and they said, we're going underground. And I thought it meant they were moving. And they were going underground, underground sounds. And so they said, well, all you have to do is play this and identify it. So, of course, I see Stairway to Heaven. And I said, oh, it's a remake of the Neil Sedaka record. Well, of course, it wasn't a remake of the Neil Sedaka record, but Neil Sedaka did a fine Stairway to Heaven that had nothing to do with Led Zeppelin.
I never heard that.
You didn't?
I thought you were talking about the OJs. I like the one by the OJs.
Well, that too, but no. The Neil Sedaka is great. Of course, you know, I'm a Neil Sedaka fan.
Now I know what it is.
All right, yeah. So.
It just took me a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a fine little rock and roll record. All right, well, both of your votes are duly noted, and thank you.
Oh, and thank you for giving me a chance. I might have some more.
I hope
thank
so.
You.
Yes, an unlimited amount of votes there are. But yes, a little Stairway to Heaven, Neil Sedaka style.
Climb up.
Clearly, it is not Led Zeppelin, to say the least. And the OJs, yes, as Karen mentioned, the OJs also Stairway to Heaven. You can tell that Led Zeppelin's not about to appear in that one anytime either. But as far as Gilligan's Stairway, as I like to call it, if you missed that classic.
Started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, and the skipper.
So yes, indeed, there you have the words to Gilligan's Island to the tune of Stairway to Heaven. Yeah, and I remember years ago, Henny Backus asked me for a copy of that. Yeah, her husband was obviously on the show. All right, so we'll stop right there. We'll continue to get your votes, but right now we'll see what's going on in the world at large at WGN Radio News on WGN Radio.
I've got a funny feeling from my head down to my toes. Ha! You got me tossing and a-turning, wondering which way to go. I don't know what's going on. I wonder if it's right or wrong. All I know is that I feel so fine. Makes me think I'm going out of my mind. All I wanna know, all I wanna know, is the love, love, if it's love, oh, then you know it's all. Did you get a thrill, baby, the moment that your lips touched mine? And oh, did you feel so fine? Did it hit you, baby, deep down inside? You can run, run, run from love, but you can't hide. Ha, ha. I've got a funny feeling from the moment that I saw you. Ha! You got me wondering, baby.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That is Eddie Holland. And as I say, that was kind of channeling his inner Jackie Wilson there. He co-wrote that with Mickey Stevenson. And, of course, it did nothing. But 1962, Motown released it anyway. And I thought it was a fine song. So, yeah, hard to believe, but time flies. So, 84 Monday for Eddie Holland, who I think had over 140 chart records. Yeah, so not only recorded by Motown artists, but actually charted by them. One of the reasons that he got into songwriting rather than continuing to record, and as I say, Barry put out a lot of records on this guy, he had utter stage fright, just did not want to appear. So as far as Holland Dozier Holland, what can we say about Eddie Holland? Lyrics. Yeah, he was responsible for most of them. All right, so he's also in the news regularly for all sorts of court cases, whether it's taxes or loans or music rights. Yeah, he makes headlines. In any event, he's still with us, and I'm thrilled about that. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And I haven't forgotten about Barry Sadler. The night will not end without me. We'll pick it up in Murder, not end without the rest of his story. And we say that because today would have been his birthday. So there you have that. But now, as far as voting on the world's worst hit records, again, you can vote as often as you want, just not for the same song twice. As long as it's a hit, that's all it needs to be. We don't care about the genre or the year. And if you hear something and you're saying, I hate that too, by all means vote, because it's a cumulative total. All right, so now until Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving, voting is going on. Now, people always say, can I email my votes? Yes and no. You can, but I don't guarantee they will be tabulated because I get so much email very often I don't see it. But if you want to, sure, Raleigh@Raleigh.net, Rolleye@Rolleye.net. Although I'd really rather you call so we can all have fun together. So Don and Beloit, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey there, Raleigh.
Well, you're a 40-year veteran, but I've never done this with you before, this voting, so... we're trying to come up with the worst, but boy, you got some really good ones there. I thought that Gilligan's Island theme was too good. That was a pretty nice version, I thought.
Yeah,
like
well, of course,
like
that won't
river dance or something.
Yeah, that won't qualify, of course, because it wasn't a hit, but it is certainly an interesting piece of music nonetheless.
Well, I'm going with more like atonal horrors.
Okay.
I'm thinking pretty much anything horrible would be William Shatner singing anything, but
well, you know, he didn't hit with, and I know there was a big thing where a lot of those poor guys were forced to, you know, sing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds or what have you. None of them were hits. So again, the rules are these have to be hits. And the other thing I should mention is we don't accept anything by ABBA, even though I would agree wholeheartedly we have to have actual title.
Okay, so you're saying like if Rocket Man is William Shatner's spoken version,
no, 1978, it was not a hit. Now, if you were saying Elton John Rocket Man, that would qualify.
Okay, so it's got to be
a
the
hit.
Original.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be original. It just has to be a hit. Some people make hits because of they're doing remakes, but that version, whatever you're voting on, had to at least get to number 60 nationally.
Okay. Sorry, didn't follow you there on that one. Okay. All right. Well, that Eddie Holland was that was a pretty grim version of that.
The last one I played, If It's Love, It's All Right, I thought that was a great record, but it wasn't a hit.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, if you think it hits, call me back.
Thanks a lot for explaining, so I'll put my thinking cap on.
Oh, you'll come up with them, I'm sure. Yes.
Okay, bye-bye.
Just listen to any adult contemporary station of your choice. You'll come up with dozens, I would think, anyway. Although, you know, again, for every record you and I hate that was a hit, the only reason it was a hit is millions of people went out and bought it. So, you know, and that's why, you know, it's fighting words, but Hey Jude has made the top 10 in the past. I don't know if it'll even be voted on this year, but that's just a fine example of something that was a huge hit that got enough votes that people hated it. So, Bruce and Elwood, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm getting stronger every day.
Yay! Oh, I'm so glad. So the infection's totally gone. Are you off the antibiotics?
Yep, I've used it up. I'm off it.
Oh,
yay. I went from a walker to a cane.
Yeah.
I'm actually able to drive my car. I've been able to drive around and get stuff. And,
good.
I have a friend I take with me just to make, you know,
yeah,
in case of emergency. But,
yeah.
And he goes in and he's a younger guy and he goes and does my, I got to give him my shopping list and stuff. And but I'm driving around and just feeling a little better every day, I think.
Excellent. Well, that's wonderful news. In no time, you'll be back to walking on your own with no problem. Everything's going to be great, I can tell.
Okay, so I got two songs for this.
Yes.
The Name Game.
Ah, Shirley Ellis. Fine choice.
Yep. And The Leader of the Pack.
Oh, yes, of course, the Shangri-Las.
Yeah, oh, that was awful.
I agree, but it was a big hit.
But I want to tell you, I just got my new 2E a few hours ago.
Oh, yeah?
My CC2E, yeah. I had one. It was over 15 years old, and I was having trouble with the buttons. And, and so I just pulled the plug, and I so I'm getting better and going through all this. I said, I'm going to treat myself to a new one. So I ordered a brand new 2E, and
wow,
it's so nice. Everything works on it. But I got it. I ordered it on Monday, and I got it in like 46 hours. It was here.
Wow.
From California. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
But, well, good. Well, enjoy it. And I can't wait to hear what you picked up that you didn't even know was there.
Well, now I'm looking at the Skywave, so I may.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's addictive. I know.
They sent the catalog, and I'm looking at the Skywave, and then I started looking at some videos of the short wave, and I'm like, oh, I used to do a lot of short wave DXing. Maybe I should just get one of those, too.
Well, maybe that'll be on the wish list. For the meantime, go ahead and enjoy that 2E.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right,
Molly.
Thanks for calling.
Talk to you later.
Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. And Andrew in Chicago has some votes. All right, can't wait to hear them. Go for it.
Okay, General Hospital.
Yes, it was a hit. You're absolutely right.
The instrumental song, Rise.
Oh, Herb Alpert, Rise. Yes, okay. 1979, I think.
Correct. Mariah Carey's that Christmas song she sings.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it comes back to haunt us every year, just like acid reflux, yes.
And you know what I really, 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 really hate? When I tell Alexa, when I tell Alexa, play holiday classics, you know, I'll hear Bing Crosby, she comes on, and it's so out of place.
Now,
there was that other song called All I Want for Christmas Is You. It was a slow song.
Yes.
Well, who sang that one?
Originally? I'm trying to think, because that's been done by a lot of people, and there are fights about that as well.
Well, it was the same title, but it was, I think it was a totally different lyric.
No, there are other people who did that as well, you know. But Justin Bieber and Mariah Carey did it more recently, but Mariah Carey in her fourth album was All I Want for Christmas Is You. But she went crazy with something else. But I think you're right that somebody probably did that long, long, long before that. Because I know
it was, it was the same title but different lyrics.
I mean even the lyrics. Let me take a look at this, because I'm pretty sure she didn't originate it. But let's see. And
because the first lyrics of the one I'm thinking of is "Take Back the Holly and Mistletoe."
Right. Mariah Carey, 1994. Now, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Also, Vince Vance and the Valiants did.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Yeah, and that is different.
I'm not nominating it, but it's the fact that even though everybody knows about that Mariah Carey song and my favorite Christmas song is actually, it's probably the Vince Vance and the Valiants, and I love her voice.
Okay.
But you know, I really, really love that song. But used to when I would say to people that's you know one of my favorite Christmas songs, people would think of that disgusting Mariah Carey song.
And well,
like, no.
You know, and there have been those lawsuits, you know about that. Vince Vance has sued her on a few occasions. He became his own soap opera for that. And last I heard was last year, actually, he filed again and said he had the copyright on the title. I'm not sure you can copyright a title.
You cannot.
Well, and so you got all of that stuff going. So yeah, all right. So you like the Vince Vance. I'm writing this down because you know we might. It's rare, but we might play an occasional holiday song during the holidays, and not many. I'll mention that that Andrew likes Vince Vance.
Let me see. I'm gonna try to plug in one more though. What's that awful? The one about that was an older song done in the 70s. They're going to take me away.
Oh, they're coming to take me away. Yes, Napoleon the 14th. Absolutely. And that was a big hit on Warner Brothers. Yes.
Snoopy versus the Red Baron. You sing it every year at Christmas time.
Yeah, Napoleon. Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I'd go berserk? Yeah, I could go on. Okay,
that's my theme song. How about Snoopy versus the Red Baron?
Okay, it's a hit. Wait a minute, I'm still writing Take Me Away. All right. Yes, the Royal Guardsman, Snoopy. Okay.
Hey, am I coming up with good ones?
Okay.
I think I'm coming up with a good one.
Well, very good. Well, we'll see. I'll tell you what. All of them have gotten votes before, so we'll see how many people second them this year and where they wind up. Very good choices.
One more. The Purple Eater song.
Oh, a Purple People Eater?
Yeah.
Sheb Woolley. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, Sheb Woolley.
That was the last one.
Much to his chagrin, that was a hit because, of course, Sheb Woolley was an interesting guy. He did country music parodies as Ben Colder. That was the name he used. But he also acted in a lot of Westerns, and he was an older guy, and he despised rock and roll. And so Purple People Eater, he wrote that as a parody of everything that was wrong with rock and roll, and the damn thing became a hit. I don't think he ever got over it.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Anyway, have a great night, Rob.
You too. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Yeah, Sheb Woolley just despised rock and roll. But, you know, it was a generation thing to an extent. All right, we'll get to Eduardo. He's got some stories. Jan in Dallas has some votes. Fran in Austin has some votes. And I haven't forgotten about Barry Sattler either. So, yeah, I know, because I have this habit of letting the shows end and, you know, completely avoiding the stories, but we won't do that tonight. At some point, I promise. Well, I hope. Coming up on WGN Radio.
I'm running. Yes, before it's too late. Trying to get away from that jail bait. It's a rough temptation, but a common invitation and a good association, but a quick elimination that will take you out of circulation. Yes, I'm talking about that younger generation. So take my advice, fellas, for goodness sake. 15, 16, 17, that's jail bait. Now they swear that they're in love, that you and her are by stars above, and she's looking mighty good, just like a young girl should. We try to tell you no, and let that young girl go, but you know it all. Have yourself a ball, and now that it is too late, as you look from cell number 8, I tried to tell your mate, seventeen and a half is still jail bait.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Word to live by. All right, of course, it's Andre Williams. You know that. We'll be playing some Andre Williams. I was on Fortune, and he and the Browns, who owned Fortune Record, were very close, and interesting stories there. Deborah Brown wrote a lot of things, but in this case, Andre Williams wrote Jail Bait, indeed. So he was in Chicago. In fact, he died in Chicago, sadly, just a couple of years ago. But he had done some stuff for Chess Records as well, and a number of other things, and wrote a ton of songs. But man, I'll tell you, his years on Fortune Records were just the best, and Jail Bait is a fine example of that. So 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. And we defer to first-time callers because they tend not to be patient. So we're going to meet Marshall, and Marshall is in New Orleans. All right, Marshall, welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, thank you so much, Raleigh. I love your show. I love what you do. You are the Chicago Eddie Schwartz of the airwaves.
Oh, what a compliment. Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
True. I mean it from my heart. I grew up listening to Chicago Eddie, and you just have that magic and mojo, as we say down here in New Orleans,
yeah.
And I just love what you do, and thank you for being there. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm delighted that you called. Now, did you grow up in New Orleans?
No, I grew up in Chicago on the northwest side, Milwaukee and Devon.
Sure.
And my grandpa was a policeman and in Chicago, and then my mom was a nurse at Resurrection Hospital. And then back in the mid-70s, my grandpa, the police officer, said, you know, Chicago's getting to be a bad city. You ought to just move out of town somewhere.
Wow.
And so we moved actually to Niles.
Yeah.
And I graduated from Northwest High School. Mm-hmm. And then my family moved up to Wisconsin. And so I'm still a Chicagoan at heart. You know how it goes.
So when did you get to New Orleans?
6 years ago. It just got to be so cold. You know, Chicago's so cold. And I worked in radio, and that song, They're Coming to Take Me Away, I got to hear it played live by Dr. Demental in Racine. Yeah, and I was working at a radio station in Racine at the time, and we played a show from 10 to midnight on Sunday nights. And nobody wanted to pick Dr. Demento up at the airport. And I said, I would love to. And he's the nicest guy. And so I got to hear that crazy song, but it's good memories. You know?
Oh, yeah, that's great. No, absolutely. Can you hang on a few minutes? Because I got to do the news, and I don't want to lose you. So stay right where you are.
All right, I'll be glad to. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. So we'll check out what's going on in world at large and the news and some commercials and all that. And then we'll be right back to voting and back to Marshall and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Mm-hmm. while I was down in Tennessee. All my friends was glad to see me. Seen some down by the railroad track. Seen some cotton pickers with their sacks on their backs. They say, hey man, we're glad to see you back. We got a new dance they call bacon fat. It goes. Oh, have mercy. Help yourself, young. Then you go. Oh, but the chicken was never like this. Yeah. Oh, I feel like I wanna holler, but the town's too small. Have mercy. Now then I went down to see my local DJ. His name is Kane, he lived down Tennessee way. I said, hey man, what's this new kind of jump? Well, you wind up twice and then you end up with a bump. He said, dig daddy, this is a natural fact. It's a sweep in the south, that thing, the bacon fat.
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. Yep, more Andre Williams and the Don Juans, who would have turned 87 today. As I mentioned, died in Chicago in 2019, but a fixture in Detroit for years. And, of course, Chicago as well, because, you know, Twine Time, he wrote that for Alvin Cash and the Crawlers. And he also did Shake a Tail Feather, which, of course, originally the Five Deutones, right, and so much more. But his stuff on Fortune is just classic stuff. So we're talking with Marshall, a first-time caller for the last 6 years, has been living in New Orleans. So, all right, Marshall, thanks for waiting.
Thank you so much for letting me speak with you. It's just such a pleasure, Raleigh.
Yeah.
My two songs that I wanted to vote for that I think are just terrible, though my mom said, please don't. They're beautiful songs. but it's Paul Anka, You're Having My Baby.
You're right. And you know what? That almost always does well on this chart. Yeah, Paul Anka with Odia Coates, which sounded more like a dry cleaner to me.
And then I guess I have bad memories of it, because in the 70s, when we had to put our dog to sleep in Chicago, was then the song that was constantly playing on the radio then, with Terry Jack, Seasons in the Sun.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, Seasons in the Sun. If that is not a suicide dirge, I give up.
I know. And with us losing our dog Star, you know, that we had for like 14 years, and hearing that just constantly, they were just playing it over and over. I just had to vote for those two songs, even though my mom says, they're really pretty songs.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that they are always contenders for the last 40 years or so. Always contenders, and usually do make the top 10. So you're starting off with the right spirit. Apologies to your mom.
And I wanted to ask you a question, Raleigh. You said you worked in Rockford.
Yes.
I believe at WROK Radio.
Yes, the big 1440, 3901 Brendanwood. Yes.
Were you at the time working for Howard Miller?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to... John R.W. Whalen was the program director, but the Noltes own it. And see, Vern Nolte, the deal was he invented the tertiary tone for cart machines. So every cart machine sold, that family got money. So that's why WROK and WZOK could like bring in the Rolling Stones or do whatever, because they were printing money.
Yes. Oh, and you know what? Now I just remembered. I think Howard Miller's station was WRRR.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I was thinking that he had WROK and
nope.
WZOK, but now I think that it's not
yeah.
the case. But
yeah.
When I was a kid, I used to call WGN Radio all the time. I was on Wally Phillips Show, Roy
yeah.
Leonard, Bob
yeah.
Collins, and I was just a little kind of groupie just calling. I loved radio. I had surgery at Illinois Masonic Hospital on my knee by Dr. Ted Fox, who was the doctor for Brian Piccolo and the Chicago Bears.
Right.
And I was in a cast for a year and in traction.
Oh,
and so all I did was listen to the radio when I was about 12 or 13, and it got me hooked for life. And I just love it and adore your show and love what you do. And WGN is just the best. I grew up with Bob Sirott and John
sure.
Records Landecker.
Sure.
It's just Chicago radio is just the best. You guys are just the
best. I agree with you about Chicago radio. And my favorite guy, long before you were alive, I can tell by the years you're talking, was a guy who was on WCFL when they were an MOR station, and that was Dan Sorkin. And he was just a monster. In fact, he single-handedly got Nielsen out of the radio ratings business in the early 60s. So, yeah, lots of stories. And Chicago had such wonderful, wonderful people.
Oh, I know. One of my the furthest I ever went in radio was I worked in Milwaukee radio. I worked at WRIT.
Wow.
Yeah. But then their call letters had changed. It was WBCS, a country station. Yeah. And then after they changed format, I went to WOKY. But this was all after the rock and roll days. So I worked at WOKY when it was Music of Your Life. Remember that format?
Music of What's Left of Your Life, yes.
I know.
Now, had the Bartell family sold it by then, or was it still owned by the Bartels?
It was owned by a man named Mike Jorgensen.
Oh, yes, I remember Mike very well. Sadly, he died quite a while ago.
He did.
Yeah, and that was a bad deal. But Mike was just one of those very polite people, you know, and I'm the antithesis of very polite people. You don't really want to eat with me and all that. But Mike was just, he was just proper. I remember that so well, and such a nice gentleman. I love talking to Mike.
I know, and he was a great boss to work for, and he was so kind and, you know, just outgoing to me. I just love the stations. The FM was FM 106, WMIL was country, and then they had WOKY, Music of Your Life. And I did full-time nights on WMIL, and then, believe it or not, I did middays on WOKY.
Oh, that's great.
I had two shifts, and I loved it. And Mike, like you said, Mike Jorgensen was really good. And,
it was Sundance. When you were there, Sundance owned it, because that was the company
right.
He was running. Yeah, so you were on the 920 and the 106.1.
Yeah, and we always had a great time, and I just love that passion that you have for radio and WGN has. You can just tell it's just real and authentic, and it just makes radio, when people are saying, oh, nobody listens to radio anymore, gosh, radio is just the best. It's always going to be great, and WGN is just the best. I grew up, like I said, listening to WGN, and I listened to, you know, you guys down here in New Orleans, and I just love it. So I hope you always keep up the great work. And I'm going to call you again, probably with some more songs.
Oh, good. I'm counting on that. I want to hear from you again. And thank you, Marshall. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you, Raleigh. Take care. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. How neat. Yeah, Mike Jorgensen, and that was only like 57 years old. He died. That was in Mexico, and just a sad deal all the way around. But he was truly one of the good ones, and had been in North Carolina for a while earlier in his career, long before Marshall was on the planet. But nonetheless, 888-876-5593. 88 88 88 88 88 Raleigh, should be. It's my first name. I should know this. Rolleye. All right. So we're gonna take a break from boats. We're gonna get to Bob, a second time caller, in a moment. And we're gonna get to Bob right now because I'm not sure where he is. This could be a very long distance call, depending. Then we got Fran, we got Jan, we got Eduardo, we got Johnny D, and hopefully you too. So all right, Bob, second time caller. Thank you for calling back. Let's do it to it. And where are you?
I'm out in the western suburbs of Chicago.
Okay. All right. For a minute there, I thought you were in Japan. All right. Very good.
No, not quite that far. In fact, I've never been to Japan.
It's for the best.
But I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of you and your show, and I'm always amazed at your in-depth knowledge of music and radio and all your fascinating information.
Well, thank you.
Big fan. But I'm not a big fan of this song that I would like to cast a vote for. I've put off calling in for a few years because I thought that it would be overwhelmingly a winner with so many other people calling in. It's Rhapsody in the Rain.
Oh, and Lou Christie, of course.
Yes, indeed.
Now, you know there's two different versions of it.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, I don't blame you. Here was the deal. When they first released it, when they were talking about making love in the rain, a lot of top 40 stations, oh, no, they can't be doing that. And so then they changed the lyrics so that they weren't making love.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that, too.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, what else are you going to do if you're listening to that song? Why not? But,
right.
But yes, they did. Two different versions.
The when the windshield wipers come together, I'm like scratching.
Right.
Forever, never.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has anyone ever voted for that song?
You know, we've had a lot of Lou Christie voted on before, but usually for whatever reason, it's things like The Gypsy Cried and Two Faces Have I. But Rhapsody in the Rain is a very good choice. Yes, in this car, our love went much too far. And I'll tell you what, you know, Mississippi said, turn off the radio, kids. And yeah, and
I hope I've reminded some of your other callers of how silly that darn song is and that they'll call in and back me up on this.
Yes, absolutely. A good choice. And you call me again. Thanks, Bob.
All right.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
All right. Bye-bye. So, yes. Never. All right. If you don't know the song, well, it's probably for the best. Now I say we play back the top 10 on Thanksgiving and Night of Turkeys, but we don't play all of them. It's not a torture show. So, that's where we'll leave it. Get Eduardo's stories, Fran's votes, Jan's votes. Don and Beloit has figured out a vote. Oh, good. And Johnny D, always some fine votes. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Son, his name is Monday. He never give me no problems till on Sunday. He came to me one day, he said, Daddy, I got a little girl. I said, well, son, how do you know that she did you? He said, Daddy, she can do the girl. I said,
girl, baby, pearl, baby, pearl, baby, pearl, baby, pearl.
But then that's good, son. I'd sit him down, you know. Me and him had to have a little talk. I said, son, is you sure that this pearl is the girl? He said, Daddy, I'm absolutely positive that my girl is pearl. I said, well, all right, son, if that's your girl, then go on out and on the floor and do the pearl.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. All right, that's Les Andre Williams I'll play. And that actually wasn't on Fortune. By the time that came out, Fortune had really, it was still around because the Brown Sun was running it, but they had pretty much been doing reissues and all that kind of stuff. But this was another little Detroit label in 1967, Sport. And you're saying, never heard of that. Well, it wasn't big, but Shelly Hames found that. And they were all a supersonic sound production. There were other little labels you've never heard of either. But yeah, they were around, and they put out Andre Williams 11 years after he was doing Bacon Fat and all that with Pearl Time. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. So Eduardo in Tampa, what's up tonight, Eduardo?
Yeah, Rod, it's good to hear you back on the radio.
Yeah, tonight and tomorrow night, you betcha. What's up?
Yeah, I thought this was a funny and weird story. Charles Berg, he's the CEO of Levi's.
Uh-huh.
And so people started copying his idea on social media. He says that because his jeans are going to last long, he's going to be washing them as he's taking a shower. How about that? Weird. Never heard about that.
All right. Well,
yes.
So yeah, they he became CEO when their sales were really really on the downslide, and he really he fired a lot of people and all that, but literally made a lot of different moves that put them back back on top. But what was interesting is when he left, they asked him some about his biggest regrets. And he left, I think, just this past year. And Chip Berg is what they called him. Charles was his first name, but Chip was his nickname. And he had said, "My biggest mistake was not firing enough people who needed to go soon enough."
Oh, yeah. So get a downsize.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, not only downsize, I mean, replace. But basically, he just really wanted to change the culture and just blew through there like a tornado. So, yeah.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I know as far as me, I mean, I turn my clothes inside and out, but I do have a habit of not doing that with my jeans, with my pants, but.
Well,
but I do wash in cold water, so.
Jeans are an
odd.
That's
good to do.
Jeans are odd anyway, because, you know, it's the only article of clothing I can think where people intentionally buy them with holes in them and things of that nature. And sometimes that too washed look is what has a bigger price tag. So I'm not sure you can wash them wrong.
Yeah. Well, they say to do that because then that's why they're doing it, so that this idea was brought up, because then they're saying, well, yeah, this way they don't have the holes later on, you know, and the color starts to fade, stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's what I say. Holes and fading seem to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
but well,
sure.
Not with me. I mean, I like my jeans the old traditional way, you know,
well,
with no holes in, you know.
All right, well, the deal is washing your clothes inside out is good no matter whether they're jeans or anything, because it does help prevent fading. Not entirely, but also if you've got different things on the outside that could possibly, through friction, wear off, you know, by all means, turn those puppies inside out.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was weird. You see people run with an idea. They see their, a CEO does that, and then, oh, everybody else tries to copy that idea
on
social media.
Like I said, that's sort of an old thing coming back, because I had heard that all my life in terms of turn them inside out, especially if you're using washing machines with an agitator. Anymore, you don't use machines with an agitator like some of the front loaders and stuff like that, and it's not as important. But if you're agitating, you want to turn it inside out no matter what it is.
Yeah, that's a good idea, yeah. All right, I'll let you get on to some more calls. Anything interesting pops up, I'll definitely call back.
I'm counting on it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, have a good evening.
Okay, so we'll get back to your votes. I haven't forgotten about Barry Sattler, and I also haven't forgotten about the news, which is amazing for me, so we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
Ooh.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And yeah, I just love the Del Vikings, especially their early stuff on Phoebe. And that certainly was in their formative years, just their second session on Phoebe. And of course, Come Go With Me was the first, so the big hit out of the box. But nonetheless, baritone Norman Wright was there, along with Crip Johnson and David Lurchie. And of course, Clarence Quick, C.E. Quick. And it was C.E. Quick who wrote it, Crip on lead there. But Norman Wright would have turned 86 yesterday, born in 1937 in Philly, died in 2010 in New Jersey after a long illness, 72 years old. But yeah, the Del Vikings, and that was quite the soap opera as well in terms of their formation and all that. But one of the big questions is, was it Norman Wright singing lead on Come Go With Me, or was that Gus Backus? And you know, I've seen arguments pro and con till the cows come home, and I don't know. Could have been Norman, could have been Gus on Come Go With Me, but either way, it was one of the two. Either way, just a terrific record all the way around. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and we're taking votes on the world's worst hit records, and we have told the entire Del Viking story in the past, so I won't belabor the fact that there wound up being two different groups because they were all underage except for Crip Johnson, who wound up staying with Phoebe. But anyhow, we'll take votes on a happier, or maybe sadder, I don't know, depending on what you vote on. Note, Fran and Austin, how's it going?
Oh, it's going okay. I always look forward to this.
Now, you sent me an email, and I responded. I hope you got it.
Yes, I got it. Thank you very much. Good information there, and I'll follow up on that.
All righty.
So, I definitely want to agree with Karen. I want to second her votes for Stairway to Heaven and Honey.
Good choices.
Always got to have Honey in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
And Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh, okay. Billy Ray Cyrus always comes
yes.
up.
I like the Weird Al version of that.
All right, yeah.
That Achy Breaky song, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Achy Breaky Heart it is.
And then, of course, Having My Baby.
Yes, yes. God, that's a horrible record all the way around. I don't know what he was thinking.
And whoever reminded me of Rhapsody in the Rain, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
But I want to put that on there as well. Oh, my God. That's, of course, I would put just about anything by Lou Christie on there.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I often thought that, you know, probably some great promoter started the controversy on that record because it got more play when part of the Catholic Church in certain areas were protesting it and all that. And it wound up being a feature on, like, evening news and that kind of stuff. And so they had to replace And In This Car, Our Love Went Much Too Far. And In This Car, Love Came Like a Falling Star. Yeah, it was funny because I remember Lou Christie talking about it at the time, and he said, even Time magazine did an article saying I was corrupting the youth. So I think that if it wasn't planned, well, nothing else would have made it so noticeable. So, yes.
Oh, another one I hate by him is Lightning Strike.
Yeah, well, you know, they're one after the other. Those records came out both at the same time. Absolutely, we'll get Lightning Strikes as well, a fine choice.
That song's always kind of been kind of pervy to me. It's like, you know, he's just going to, with anybody, you know, if he wants it, he's going to take it.
Well, yeah, you know, it started out as bad and got worse because, you know, when The Gypsy Cried came out, it was kind of like a novelty, and Two Faces of I could almost accept that. But yeah, after that, it was going downhill.
I don't think I can think of anything of his I like, but
you know, I haven't heard them all, but now that you say that, it's almost like a challenge. I'm going to have to see if there's anywhere he doesn't decide to go into screeching.
Yeah.
Because there may be. Obviously, it's a signature, and it worked.
I don't know. I guess people liked it.
Right. So we have to find. I'm going to find out. Did he ever do ballads where, you know, he wasn't forced to, you know, go into the cat register?
Of course, I like it when, you know, now Gary and I have a definite differing opinion of this. I like the Four Seasons. He cannot stand them.
Oh, really?
And, okay. Yeah, so if I want, you know, a little bit of time alone, I just put on a Four Seasons CD and he'll just go away.
There were a couple I really liked by the Four Seasons, very few, but I thought Candy Girl was one of the best records ever. And
that's a good one. I like that one, too.
Yeah, Larry Santos wrote that. Really nice. And the other one was actually a flip side, a doo-wop ballad, Soon. I always liked Soon.
I don't know if I've heard that one.
Oh, I'll have to play
it. I'll
play it next for you since it never gets any airplay anywhere else. So
okay. Hey, why not?
Yeah, although Jerry Blavitt used to play it a lot. I can say that. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll play that, and you'll have to tell me if you like Soon.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, I guess every time John says, you're going to vote for the whole catalog, right? I said, just about.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, if you could do anything by, boy, I'd have a long list. And be mostly anything played.
I know.
Yeah, anything played on adult contemporary stations. Anything Delilah has even thought about playing.
Oh, Delilah.
Hey, and we can make fun of her all day long because she's laughing all the way to the bank, so she's fair game.
I know.
But yeah, absolutely. Yeah, spare me. All right. Always good to hear from you.
Doesn't say much for some of the, well.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, Marshall McLuhan, I think, yes, there are many quotes. All right.
Right.
Thanks. Appreciate it, friend.
Sure, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
So 888-876-5593 would be 8888. Raleigh, and Jan is in Dallas. All right, Jan, what do you hate?
Oh, hold my hand through this. This is my first time to do this. What's New Pussycat?
Oh, Tom Jones. All right. Mm-hmm. Very good.
That at 17, I believe.
Janice Ian. Yes, Janice Ian at 17.
Okay, that was her. Yeah. And If I Were a Carpenter.
Ah, Bobby Darin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I like him, but.
But not that.
No.
All right. All good choices.
Well, I like some of the songs that have been voted terrible, so but thank you for doing Barry Sandler.
I promise to get to the rest of that story.
Oh, gosh. I'll have my handkerchief out.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling. Yeah, I don't know. You might find yourself laughing. It's hard to say. But in the end, you're going to come away with a mystery. But I promise I will not let the night conclude without the whole Barry Sattler story. But I will tell you, usually I can say, and this is the way it wound up, I've still got a question. All right, so Don and Beloit is going to vote. And what is he going to vote on? We're about to find out on WGN Radio. So, spit it out.
Yeah, thanks, Riley. Hey, okay, now I understand. I got a real garbage one for you, a real, real off-key arrangement that you probably hate as well. But your favorite R&B crooner, Mr. Pat Boone.
Ah.
How about I just went with his last top 10 hit, that Speedy Gonzales. Like, it's just so horrible doing Hispanic stuff.
Oh, I find that record to be hilarious. The girl who, and that's all right, you can vote for it, it's perfectly fine, but the girl who's doing the la la la's, that's actually Robin Ward, who did Wonderful Summer.
Okay. You feel sorry for her at times, I think, in the studio. You must, like...
No, I mean, she had a ball with that.
Well.
Yeah, no, she had a ball with it. She really did. And I have that on KJ, on my little oldie station. And the reason I have it there, because it is so damn politically incorrect that it's almost unbelievable that this could be recorded. And, Pat Boone, Speedy Gonzales, consider it on the list.
I'll also second the last caller. I'm sorry, who was that? That What's New Pussycat?
That was Jan in Dallas. Okay, so
Jan, thank you, Jan. Yeah, I'll vote for that one too. Thank you so much, Riley.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, so got a lot of seconds, which is great. Because that's the way it ultimately works, because it is, it is kind of a numbers game on this. Leah and Marcus Hook. Can't wait to hear this. How's it going, Leah?
Oh, pretty good. How's it going with you?
I'm here.
First of all, I want to second all of Fran's choices.
All right.
Shall I say them?
Yes.
Okay, Achy Breaky Heart.
Got it.
Having My Baby.
Got it.
Rhapsody in the Rain.
Got it.
And Lightning Strikes.
Okay. And do you want to add to the list?
Okay. Yes, I do.
All right.
Hopefully she'll return the favor tomorrow night and second my choices.
All right.
Mine choices are the Na 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 song by Mouth and McNeil.
Oh, Mouth and McNeil. All right.
Is that what it's called? Na Na Na?
You know, the only one I know by them is It's So Nice to Be With You, so I'm going to have to look it up. So I will look it up. But I know the song. I just, I'm sure I had to play it.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I'm afraid I might, but let me look to make sure it's Mouth and McNeil.
I thought, why not? Na 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 Na.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, God. Is that Mouth and McNeil?
Yeah. Yes,
how do you do and Hey You Low? I'm not so
how
sure.
How do you do? How do you do? That's what it's called.
That's the one, yeah. How do you do?
How
all
do
right.
you do?
Yes, well, it was a hit. You're definitely can choose it. How do you do? All right. What else?
I always forget the title of that one.
Well, that's for the best. Why would you want to remember?
Run, Joey, Run.
Oh, absolutely. David Geddes. Yes.
Yes.
You're right.
Sky High.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm still writing David Geddes.
Yeah,
Run, Joey, Run. There's so many to choose from in that genre. And Sky High. Yeah, okay. Got it?
By Jigsaw, I guess, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, exactly right.
And Little Willie.
Oh, the Sweet.
Little Willie by Sweet. Yeah.
Okay, I'm still writing Jigsaw. Okay, and Sweet Little Willie. Yeah. All right. All good choices.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
So good deal. All fine. Yeah, for whatever reason, Little Willie was, as far as preteen Hispanics in Miami, this is like 1973. Oh, man, Little Willie just the be-all and end-all for him. Will you play Little Willie? No. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Johnny D, we'll get to Mark, we'll get to Diane, and hopefully you two coming up on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, so I think very few people know about it because of the flip side of a god-awful record by the Four Seasons, Ain't That a Shame? Yeah, they shouldn't have and they did. But this was Bob Gaudio and Bob Crewe who wrote that, 1963 on VJ Soon. And as I was playing it, in my mind I could say, I can see how people might hate this one too. But I always liked it. Kesh can't vote for it because it wasn't a hit. All right, Johnny D in Ohio, what's happening tonight? You still with us, Johnny D, or did you hang up on me? Well, I guess Johnny D left us. So we'll try him another night, and we'll talk to Mark from Aurora. What's up, Mark? Mark left us, too? Well, I guess I'm just boring all the way around. No, I appreciate everybody waiting, and I know it does take a long time. But let's see if Diane in Chicago is of hearty spirit and still with us. So are you there,
yes,
Diane?
I'm,
all right.
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you. Okay,
I have to agree with, but these are repetitive from last year, and it seems like those are the ones that become winners because people keep seconding,
yeah.
You know, like having my baby and all
yeah.
that. But anyway, I never cared for Three Coins in the Fountain.
Oh, and okay.
Yeah, it's sort of a blah kind of
okay.
song. And then All I Want for Christmas, Mariah, I don't care for that. And What's New Pussycat.
Okay.
And I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar.
Oh, yes, Helen Reddy. Yes, a fine choice.
And then last year I nominated this, but it didn't get anywhere. Some Velvet Morning.
When I'm Straight, yes,
Nancy
absolutely.
Sinatra.
Yes, yeah. Yes, and Lee Hazelwood. But,
and then what is that one that was recent? This is My Fight or My Fight. It's like one of those songs that they would play at campaigns, and this one woman protested. She didn't like that Trump was using that song. It's like it's a big. It's like This Is My Fight or something. To me, that would be one of the worst songs as well.
All right. Well, hopefully someone will give us a title and an artist so we'll know.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for trying. Appreciate it. Good choices all, one and all, and they have been recorded. Now, we'll say goodbye to Diane, and I know we said goodbye to Mark. Johnny D called back. All right. So you're awake. Okay, Johnny D.
Yeah, I'm awake. I've been on hold for an hour,
and
I didn't hang up.
Well, here's
John told me your phone system is screwed up.
Oh, is it? See, I don't even know that. But here's the worst part. I wanted to take your call right now, but we're going to break for news, so don't go away, and you're the first up, I promise. All right, so that's exactly where we're going to leave it, and we got another hour of this, and I haven't forgotten about Barry Sadler. Even if I have to interrupt your votes, we'll give you the whole story. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Ding dong, ding dong.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, it's the Olympics, and yes, they're on Demon, and I played that because, and I know a lot of their stuff was on Arby and stuff, but that was on Demon, just like Western movies. Love Demon, by the way. Cy Aronson and a couple other guys own this little label. Liberty distributed it, but if you've got a Demon record in your collection, and it probably would be Western movies, it's a bright pink label, and it says right on it, the highest in Phi. So that was just classic with a little demon face and all that. In any event, I digress. So it was on this date in 1958 that the Olympics were lip-syncing that on Dick Clark's Beechnut Show, the Saturday night show, with Bobby Darin, who was lip-syncing Queen of the Hop, and the Everly Brothers doing Problems, and the Elegants doing Please Believe Me, Nobody Did. All right, so that's the deal. Now we're talking to Johnny D, and he's waited far too long, so the floor is yours. What do you want to vote for?
Okay, welcome back, Raleigh. How are you doing?
I can't complain.
That'll go. Listen, try not to hang up on me now, all right?
I don't know.
John says you got a new phone system. I don't know. Is that right?
Well, no. See, it's not that. We do this from different studios, and so we haven't been in this studio in a while, so that's the only issue.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, well, firstly, I want to second Leela's nominations, whatever she said. Would she say a song called Thigh High?
Sky High, Jigsaw.
Oh, Sky High.
Not Thigh High, Sky High. Oh, certainly you've heard it. You'd hate it too. Let me find it here. I think you would anyway. Then again, maybe it's your favorite record, but let me see if I can find it here.
All right.
Jigsaw.
I like the Ghost Sky High, but go ahead.
No, it was by Jigsaw. Let's see. It should be on this computer. I guess it would be wonderful if it wasn't. You know, it would be a tribute to what I didn't put on this computer, but I'm afraid I did. So, as far as Jigsaw doing Sky High, and yes, it was a hit. Remember it now?
I love that song. I used to like that song.
1975, it got to number 3 nationally. They were a British group. It was a theme from some or other movie, and it was on Chelsea.
I like that song, but I'll go along with Leela on it.
All right.
Go with it. But and then I want to, thirdly, what Fran says, I want to do them. What Fran says.
Well, pick out the ones you want, because I don't write down
I don't know what you said. Achy breaky heart.
Right, write that. I'll
all
send
right.
It. Okay.
What's his name? Didn't he have a daughter, Billy Ray Cyrus?
Yes, of course. A daughter who is arguably a lot more popular than he ever was. That would be Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, she does some X-rated stuff. Or something.
I don't know that they're X-rated, but certainly she has her own tastes, shall we say. But a hit. I mean, this woman
no,
is
no, no.
this
she's
woman
on,
is absolutely.
She's on some websites.
Well, I mean, she's probably on a lot of websites, and she's big on tattoos too. But yeah, she has had a lot of hit records, and you know, she's interesting in that she kind of reinvents herself, and you know, started out on like some Disney show or something. But
yeah, I've seen her on some websites. But anyhow,
well, yeah, she was Hannah Montana, remember, on Disney? That's how she started.
Oh really?
Oh yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. That was the deal, and yeah, she's done very well for herself.
Okay, Miley Cyrus. Yeah, I've seen her. All right, I want to, now this one song, I had to look it up, Raleigh, because I was thinking, man, what year was that out? Because they used to play it all the time. It was a big hit, I guess, in 1968.
Right.
And I wasn't even sure who made it, but it's saying here, Tommy James and...
And the Shondells, what, like Crimson and Clover or something?
They'd play it over and over and over, Crimson and Clover, remember?
Yes, absolutely.
Over.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I couldn't stand that song after a while.
All right, on roulette, absolutely, that counts.
All right, and then I wanted to do... Loudon Wainwright III's
Dead Skunk. Right, absolutely.
And that's all I got, Raleigh. So.
Well, they're all good choices, and good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear. Hey, by the way, did you do anything with Caesar's video?
Not yet, but we will. It probably won't be this week, but we will, I promise, and you will be the first to know.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, no, we will. It just this week has quickly been spoken for. All right, so you don't want to know. 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh and Deb is a second-time caller. All right, Deb, what is it you want to vote upon?
Well, hi, Raleigh. I called before because my mom's 105 and listens to you every night.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah, Alice. So
all right, Alice.
This summer, my daughter-in-law and I were trying to find the lyrics to a particular song, of which escapes me. But we stumbled across this song, and I don't know if it's going to qualify But it was so horrible and ridiculous that my daughter fell off the chair and was in laughter. It's called Teach Me Tiger.
Oh, yeah. This was a big hit. This was a big hit.
Like, what?
Yes, absolutely. No, Teach Me Tiger was got to be a top. It might be number one. Let me look this up. This was a huge hit. And this is one of the worst records of all time.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad that it's almost good.
Well, right, especially when she goes into the noises that I'm pleased to say I cannot emulate. But this was big. Now, when I say big, it technically wouldn't qualify. This was April Stevens, and April's no longer with us, so I guess I can kind of talk about this now.
God bless her.
Yeah, but Nino Tempo, her brother, might be, though. It was her younger brother. I'm not sure. So I can't tell a lot of the stories, but I can tell you that they were an interesting duo, to say the least, and they made most of their fame from one record as far as on radio airplay, and that was Deep Purple. And it was Nino Tempo and April Stevens. But later they tried to do so many different things. And Teach Me Tiger, which you heard. See, I don't know whether to qualify it or not. It certainly was out there, but nationally it never got much past number 80. But for people who don't remember, April and her sounds, we'll just say that. Here she is.
Teach me, tiger, how to kiss you. Wah, 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 wah. Show me, tiger, how to kiss you. Wah, 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 wah. Take my lips, they belong to you. But teach me first.
They were serious as a heart attack. That's the bad part.
I know, it's like if you ever had a party and it wasn't going good, you just play that song and people go, what?
No, this got airplay. It absolutely did. I'm sorry to say, but yes, Nino Tempo and April Stevens. It did chart.
Well, I hope you consider it for sure.
I'll certainly add it to the list because it is a very familiar record, even though it didn't apparently chart that well. But sure, happy to.
Oh, thanks. And thanks for the great show. We really, really enjoy it.
Well, it is wonderful to have you listening. And call me again, Deb.
I sure will.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks. Appreciate it. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888. Raleigh and Gary is in Austin. Okay, it's equal time. I bet they're all Four Seasons records. All right, Gary.
Well, actually, I remember that song, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, that April Stevens? Like I say, I'm not sure if Nino Tempo is still alive, and I guess even if he was, I can't tell the really good stories, but there are just some really smarmy stories. So that song is not completely out of character.
It brought to mind Jungle Fever.
Oh, God, Chakakis. Yes.
And when Cousin Lenny used to play that
on Cliff 1190, yeah, you betcha.
He would drop the "I gotcha" from Joe Tex in certain strategic parts of that song, and it was so funny. And so whenever I hear that song, I hear those in my mind, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And we don't hear Jungle Fever enough, really.
No, we don't. And maybe we hear it too much. I'm not sure. Either or. You Light Up My Life is another one.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, you know that's going to do well, but you're the first vote this year. Let me get that down. Yeah. Okay, Debbie Boone. And how the hell, what was on Lee Ann Rimes' mind when she redid that?
I don't know.
But again, maybe Profit, because she had a hit with it too.
Yeah, well, that's probably it, yeah.
Oh.
And watching Scotty grow.
Yes. All right. So we'll go with that. Bobby Goldsboro. All right.
And of course, Having My Baby. You got to throw that one in there. I mean, I know that's a perennial one every year, but it just has to be.
Well, you know, that's right. It was 1975 when it came out, and in some ways, no one has topped it in badness since.
No, they haven't actually.
Yeah.
And you know, I know I'll hear, you know, another maybe 15 or 20 seconds of it in a few weeks, but that's okay.
Not tonight, though. That's right.
Oh, no, not tonight. I, you know, and then let's see, Leah had mentioned the Malcolm McNeil song, and I'd forgotten about that one.
How
and
do
that
you
was
do.
One we used to love to make fun of it back in the day. So
yeah.
I don't know if I should thank her for bringing that up or not, but
depends on your nightmares. You'll have to see you have to see how much you remember it.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to forget it, but
yeah.
You know, hey, that April Stevens and Nino Tempo song.
Yeah.
Back,
so. What? I'm like, oh, give me a break.
And there's probably others that I will get back with them, but those are what I got for right now.
All right, so. Good deal. Fine votes. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
All right, so, and your votes are wanted, 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. Yeah, I'm just laughing over some of the April Stevens story. We're not. We're going to talk about murder. That's right. And Sergeant Barry Sadler. Yes. And if you missed the first part, I'll quickly go over that, and then we'll get into the good part coming up on WGN Radio.
I don't know why.
I don't know why.
There's no sun up in. Stormy weather.
Stormy weather.
Since me and my gal ain't been together. Keeps raining all the time.
All time, all time, all time, all time.
Life is bare. And gloom and misery's everywhere. It's stormy weather. Since me and my gal ain't been together. It's raining all the time.
All time, all time, all time, all time.
Since you went away, the blues walked in and met me. If you don't come back to stay, old rocking chair will get me. And all I do is pray that the Lord above will let me.
WGN Radio. I'm Robbie James. That's example number one of Don't Mess With the Mix. They did on that, sadly. But the original Stormy Weather was a marvelous song by the Spaniels. In fact, might be my favorite Spaniel song of all time. But anyway, it was on this date in 1957 that the Spaniels were on stage at the biggest show of stars. And I believe this was at the Kiel, which was like the best place. Now, not only the Kiel, but a number of other places on the tour as well. Kansas City and Omaha and Louisville and all that. But when they say biggest show of stars, they weren't kidding. Buddy Holly, Paul Anka, the Everly Brothers, Chuck Berry, the Spaniels, Johnny and Joe, Tommy Brown, the Bob Betts, the Drifters, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, Laverne Baker, Jimmy Bowen, Sam the Man Taylor, and Clyde McFatter. Yeah. Tickets were probably under $2. All right, so, but of course the front row was probably as much as $3, right? All right, so back to Barry Sadler, and I'll get interrupted by the news, but to review, if you weren't listening, of course, you know Ballad of the Green Beret, which usually shows up on the world's worst hit record somewhere. Barry had an interesting childhood. He was born in Carlsbad, but his mom and dad divorced when he was very young, and then his dad died, and his mom was... Well, she wasn't Betty Crocker. All right. She worked in bars and brothels and whatever. But, you know, she kept food on their table, so you really can't knock that entirely. And so we're talking about Arizona, California, Colorado. Well, he was in Leadville, Colorado when he was in high school, and he dropped out around the 10th grade. And he was kind of Peck's bad boy. He had minor things on his record, but not so much that he couldn't, when he turned 17, go enlist in the Air Force. And he does that and does his 4 years as a radar tech and gets his GED and, you know, all the things you do, and gets out, you know, tries civilian life and realizes he's not finding a great job. And so he goes back. He's going to reenlist in the Air Force, but the Air Force guy's not at the recruiting center that day. The Army guy was, and he said, okay, I'll sign up with you. And he wound up becoming a medic in the Green Beret. Okay. And he was sent to Vietnam in late 64 and served a number of units. And he was working on the song, The Ballad of the Green Beret, but by no means was he a songwriter. And it was interesting, though, because the lyrics were interesting. And during the, this is 65 now, he was summoned to Saigon to perform for a retiring general. And so he was filmed singing the song and, you know, what would become the song, segments of it. And it was on national TV and all that. And then he had the accident where he took a feces-infected punji steak in the knee during a patrol and tried to treat it himself and damn near died. But anyway, that brings him back stateside. And that's sort of where the fun begins, because the PIO... The PIO at the time set up a little recording studio at Fort Bragg and wants him to record a demo. And in fact, Sadler had said to him, yeah, you do this for me and I'll give you a quarter of my royalties. And I'll tell you what, you can say what you want about Barry Sadler. He made good. That PIO officer got that 25% of all the royalties. But nonetheless, the Army wasn't sending him back in because they were afraid of it being a PR nightmare. So they sent him on a PR tour, which he hated. But that's where he met Robin Moore, who wrote the book, The Green Beret, and that's who opened the door at RCA. RCA paid him $500 and did a 12-song album in one day, 11 songs you don't want to hear. But, of course, Ballad of the Green Beret hits, and I think that's where we left it off. We'll get to Murder coming up, and more, and we'll get to votes from Cindy, and you too, and I promise I'll finish Barry Sadler next. Meantime, we'll find out what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio.
Don't make me cry. Don't say the words, babe, that'll make love sigh. Don't say the words that'll break my heart. Do the things that make us part. Don't tease. Don't make me cry. I'll do my best and treat you kind if you just promise.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it is the world's worst hit records voting, but the polls are open until Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, and then on the night of Turkey's Thanksgiving, we'll play back your votes. It is a cumulative total, so if you've heard someone nominate something or vote for something and you're saying, I hate that too, make sure you call in and vote for that, because the 10 with the biggest votes will, in fact, be the top 10 for the year. That's how it works. You can vote as many times as you want, but only once per record, obviously. But, you know, if you've got 15 different selections a day, that's fine. Doesn't matter. Just don't vote twice for them. And the deal is that all we ask is that they be hits. It doesn't matter what year. It doesn't matter what genre. So as long as it's a hit, like we got a vote for Three Coins in the Fountains, and I decided what we want there is the Four Aces version, because that was a big hit. But Frank Sinatra, of course, first sung it and sung it in the movie, and there's a whole story about that. But the Four Aces had the 1954 hit that was undeniable, so that's what I went with on that. But you know, you can pick your artist and your title as long as it's a hit. That's it. And so I'll get back to Barry Sadler here in a moment. But we have Cindy in Norwich, who is going to vote for us. All right, Cindy, so what do you hate?
Well, I can't even say it. It's so stupid, but I'm going to say it. But anyhow, my boyfriend hated this song. It was like his number one song that he hated.
Okay.
It was called, I think it was called Spill Wine, Dig That Girl.
Oh, spill the wine. The fireballs. War. Spill the Line was War. Absolutely. Spill the Line. Eric Burden and War.
And then there was two other ones. Can I give two other ones?
You can make as many as you want.
Well, then the other one was that song, In the Summertime When the Weather Is Hot. I mean, they played that
Mungo Jerry, In the Summertime, 1970.
Absolutely. And then what was the other one? Oh, I got to think. The Summertime. And I forgot. Let's see. They played these songs over and over again.
Well, yeah, that's what Top 40 Radio does.
I remember when I was, I don't know when these came out. What year did these come out?
Well, In the Summertime was summer of 1970. That was Mungo Jerry. War was around that time.
Yeah, and what was the other one? I got memory. Bill Wine, Dig That Girl, In the Summertime. And I can't remember. But those were just, I mean, they played them over. I mean, were they hits?
Big hits.
You hated those songs, didn't you?
I didn't think about them either way. But the problem with these records is, I think Spill the Wine might have been the same time. Is if you were on the radio, you had to play them over and over. So, you know, after a while, you never wanted to hear it again. But yeah, both were 1970.
I mean, what was that song about? I mean, was it like a, you know, the closest I've ever been to like a drug trip was trying different bipolar.
If you're going to talk about what Top 40 songs are about, we could be here all night. But nonetheless, we'll.
All right. Okay. I'll try and think of the others. Are you going to do this another night?
Well, it goes on nonstop. We talk about other things, but it goes on nonstop until Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and that's the final votes, and then I tabulate them, and I play back the top 10 on Thanksgiving night.
Okay. Okay. So, well, that's all I have.
That's all fine. I'll take it. Good deal.
The other one. Okay. Bye bye.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah. So Eric Burden and War. That was summer of 70. But yeah, that both big hits. Let's see. We've got Laura in Willowbrook wants to vote for us. All right. What do you think, Laura?
Hi, Riley. Excuse me. Well, I'm not sure what I was thinking when I was a youngster, but. Cats in the Cradle, Harry Chapin.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, oh, this is a catchy tune. And the more I've been thinking about it the last years, I'm like, wait a minute, this is really depressing. Why did they do a song like this?
Well,
it was a hit.
He specialized in that. I mean, look at WOLD. Look at Taxi. I mean, that was the kind of stuff he did.
Oh, that's true. I guess so. But it's like, oh, gosh, they kept playing it and playing it. I'm like, no, I can't hear this anymore.
Well, it was a big hit.
Oh, gosh. There's a lot of them out there that were, and we don't know why.
Right.
All right. Thanks,
Riley. Okay, thanks for calling. Yeah, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to Jeff in Beloit. But let me get back to Barry Sadler here, because otherwise I'll run out of time and, you know, somebody will be upset. Or maybe not. Depends. So as I was saying, I think we left him. He's in the service. And, of course, they're not sending him back into Vietnam now, because 1966, this record's number one. And they're thinking, oh, God, he can't get killed. So they put him on these PR tours, you know, promoting war bonds or something. And he hates it. So in 67, his tour is up. And he decided, I'm not enlisting again. And by the way, in 66, when that record was a hit, he made $500,000 that year in royalties, which is obviously exponentially more than he was making in the service. So he got out and moved to, I think originally Tucson, actually, at that point, where he had, you know, been in Arizona prior as a child. But he figured he's going to be in the movies or in TVs. And he gets about four episodes of like High Chaparral and Death Valley Days and all this, and he was in a couple unsuccessful movies and stuff. But the bottom line is that by 1973, he is in debt and he doesn't know what he's going to do. So they moved to Nashville, the family, Lavona and the kids and all this. So, okay, they're in Nashville. And by the way, it's three kids, two boys and a younger girl. Anyway, so he's he's not only not setting songwriting on fire, he's absolutely floundering and failing. But along the way, he's made a discovery, and that's that he's a pretty good pulp fiction writer. And so by 1977, he's having novels published. I mean, he did over a he did over 10 of them. And, you know, all was well until 1978. Yeah, here comes the story. And by the way, at this point, he's dating a woman, Darlene Sharp. And Darlene had a previous boyfriend who was a ne'er-do-well with somewhat of a record or whatever, a wannabe country music songwriter, Lee Bellamy. And so it was that Lee was still bothering Darlene a lot. In fact, here was Barry Sattler out to dinner with Darlene, and along the way, Lee is just, you know, making harassing phone calls and showing up at the restaurant and all that. And then the deal is, of course, after the harassing phone calls and showing up at the Natchez Trace restaurant, in case you want to keep that in mind, they're having dinner, they're having drinks, and so... Sadler had asked the bartender to telephone the police. They never did respond. But anyway, there was, you know, there were words outside the restaurant, but no big deal. And so then Barry Sattler and his girlfriend, Arlene Sharp, go to her place, her apartment, to do what they do. And and who comes to the door but Lee Bellamy? And he's, you know, banging on the door and all this. So bottom line is that Sadler opens the door, and at that point, Bellamy was not expecting to see Sadler there. He thought that his former girlfriend, Darlene, was going to answer the door. So he goes right back, runs back to his van, and instead of running away, he turns around, and he's coming back. Now, at that point, Barry Sadler shot him between the eyes, but Sadler thought he saw a flash of metal, thought he was armed. He believed that Lee had a gun and was coming back to get him or Darlene or both. And so he fired the one shot, and oh, he was a good shot as far as that goes. Struck Bellamy right between the eyes, and that was it. Now, it turns out the flash of metal was his car keys. On top of that, according to the court records, Barry had then placed a handgun in Bellamy's van to strengthen his claim of self-defense. Well, it all unravels. There's a court case. He gets 5 years. All right. How much does he do? I think 28 days. A judge reversed this fairly quickly. He wound up being sued for wrongful death by Bellamy's stepson. He had to pay 10 grand, but basically that was it. Well, the big problem here isn't anything I've told you. The big problem, if you remember, he's got this girlfriend, right? You know, Darlene Sharp, right? Well, he still has the wife, LaVonna. All right, he is absolutely still married to LaVonna. None of this is unusual in Nashville, of course, and where they have the caste system. They have the wife, they have the mistress, they have the girlfriend. The wife gets divorced, they marry the mistress, the girlfriend moves up to mistress, and a new girlfriend comes in. It's almost like it's, you know, codified. All right, well, nonetheless, LaVonna was interesting, though. She did not throw him out, she did not divorce him, but what she said is, you're going to leave my house, you're going to go away, and you're not going to come back. You're not going to be part of this family until you've got this out of your system. I don't know if she meant other women or killing or what, but nonetheless, till you've got this out of your system. So Barry is writing these novels, meanwhile. He's no longer living with LaVonna, and money is not good, but then he finds out how great money can be in Central America. So in the 80s, he moves to Guatemala City. And he's publishing these novels. By the way, the series is called Casca, C-A-S-C-A, if you're wondering. And he's also done some self-defense videos. I don't think they ever got released. But nonetheless, he absolutely has kind of made a name for himself in the pulp fiction business. Now, he had no delusions of grandeur. He was just churning it out. And by all accounts with this is that the themes of the novels and all that were just, you know, off the charts pablum. But all of the technical information, the information about the weaponry, the information about the, you know, the contact and everything else, that was apparently, you know, by the book and some great, great research. Everybody had said the same thing, is that all the technical stuff was 100% right. All the themes were, you know, pulp. In fact, someone asked him at one point about his novels, and he said, deeper meaning? Well, If you find any, please tell me what it is, because he didn't think it had any meaning at all. He wrote 29 of these novels, and 22 of them were the Kafka series. So he's moved to Guatemala, and he, by the way, he's telling people back home that he's training the Contras. I'm not making that up. Of course, he has to say this. So he had been a couple other places before Guatemala. I think Nicaragua or some other places that he'd been down in Central, maybe Mexico for a little while. But anyhow, he definitely was in Guatemala by 84. So here comes 88, and this is the stuff, as I say, this is the mystery. He was shot in the head. Now, his manager, his family, his friends all think it was part of a robbery. By the way, he was living very well in Guatemala, and let me tell you how well. $300 a month, he had like a villa and three maids type thing, servants and all that, and help and everything else. And he winds up doing very well, and certainly it could be thought that maybe, in fact, there was some stuff going on, but whatever it was, he's shot in the head. And now other people say it was not a robbery at all. In fact, the authorities ruled that he was drunk and accidentally shot himself in the head. Friends and family say, just no way. And the publisher of Soldier of Fortune magazine paid for a Learjet and a doctor and a couple nurses to get him out of Guatemala. So, because he lives. He's shot in the head in the cab, but he lives. So he undergoes brain surgery. And, you know, they called it a success. I don't call it a success when you wind up with brain damage and you're a quadriplegic. And so it is now. He's in the cavalcade of VA hospitals. And the next soap opera is, all of a sudden, he's missing. He's missing from the VA hospital in Cleveland, Tennessee. And it turns out he was kidnapped by two former Green Berets and his mother. And they kidnapped him because they said the wife, Lavana, who certainly would have reason not to treat him that well, wasn't treating him that well. But for weeks, the story went on and on about what happened to Barry Sadler. Well, they finally found him. There was a court hearing. They had to rule that he was sane and all that. They returned him to Cleveland, and then ultimately he's in the VA hospital in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and he dies in November of 1989. But that's quite a while. That's more than a year after that shooting. So that's the soap opera of Sergeant Barry Sadler. Any questions? There'll be a quiz next Thursday. All right, so 888-876-5593. We will get to Jeff's vote in Beloit, and you too if you want to chime in on WGN Radio. It gets votes. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I understand the Muppets did it decades later, but no, this is the original. This is Piero Umiliani, and I love this guy, actually, and although I will say I can understand why people put this on the list. He was a guy in Italy, and he did scores for all of the exploitation movies, whether it was spaghetti westerns or softcore sex or whatever, and Mana Mana was actually in a movie, Sweden, Heaven and Hell, and supposedly a documentary about Sweden. Well, it was softcore, let's put it that way. And actually, in the States, I think the first person who popularized it was Red Skelton on the Red Skelton Show. And then much, much later, of course, the Muppets. But Piero Umiliani did a lot of stuff, and a lot of things that were sort of lounge favorites, if you will, and died in Rome. I think he was mid-70s, about 2001. But yeah, that's Mana Mana. All right, so we've got Jeff in Beloit. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
Good. You know, I heard this song a long time ago. I don't know the artist, but it's been a long time since I've heard it. I believe it's called A New Key or A Brand New Key.
Oh, sure. Melanie. Brand New Key.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Always gets a lot of votes, so very good. Yes. I got a pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key, or the other way around. Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah, Melanie Safka. And it's interesting. She's a lovely woman, and she still performs. Her son actually sometimes performs with her. She's a hardcore libertarian, so she used to perform like at the libertarian conventions. And, you know, you hear Brand New Key, and now this woman is arguably 300 pounds. So that voice coming out of that body is just, you know, there's just a disconnect there. But nonetheless, this was a big hit.
Can she still do it?
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely, she can do it. If you close your eyes, she is doing it. But again, the image doesn't match the song. Yeah, Melanie Safka was her name, and she went. She used Melanie on the records.
Well, I knew you would know who it was, but yeah, that's my song.
Yeah, no, good deal. Well, it will get other votes, and you know, this is one of those fighting word songs. People either love it or hate it. But yeah, good deal. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right, I think the first hit you had was Lay Down Candles in the Rain. That's a terrible record. And that was, she performed at Woodstock. And she's from Queens originally. And in fact, her dad was Ukrainian, I think, hence Safka. But nonetheless, she was performing in coffee houses in you know, Manhattan and stuff like that, and signed to Columbia and then Buddha and all that. But her first hit, I think, was in the Netherlands. And then, like I say, that Lay Down Candles in the Rain rose during her Woodstock experience. And that became a sizable hit here, and it was awful. And nonetheless, she continued to release a lot of things. When Brand New Key came out, some radio station banned it because they said that's sexual innuendo. And she acknowledged that she could see that people could read that into it, but she didn't write it that way. I wrote it in 15 minutes. I thought it was cute, like an old 30s tune. Well, I guess a lot of other people thought something else. And I apologize to Cindy because we've run out of time. But, you know, we start 21 hours from right now. And we do it all again. And I hope that you'll join us. So until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air, John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for screening. And I'm looking forward to talking to you tomorrow. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.